Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone. It is 6:02, Wednesday, February the 15th. So nice to have you all with us. This is a workshop agenda review meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Kenny-Tio Independent School District. And Sonia, would you be so kind as to call roll, please?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Brigham.
Present.
Ms. Fritzy.
Present.
Mrs. Quintana.
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs. Searles.
Here.
Mrs. Trout.
Present.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Here.
Item 2, Board Agenda Review. Discuss agenda items as listed. Recommend motions with administration and receive responses to questions and or requests for additional information through the superintendent in preparation for deliberation, action, and possible consent on said items at the February 28, 2017 regular board meeting of trustees. A, presentation, FCCLA, the benefits of using organic fertilizer.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Please come forward in.
Hello and good evening. My name is DeAndre Perez, and I am accompanied by my partners, Stephanie Valverde.
Hello.
And Gabriel Avila.
Hello.
Good evening.
We are here representing FCCLA from Canopio High School.
But we are not only representing our organization, we are here representing our community.
Some of our concerns about our community would be the lack of vegetation and the amount of waste produced.
We would like to talk about the struggle of growing plants in El Paso and how the climate could greatly affect it.
Not only that, but how using animal manure and fertilizer can benefit not only plant growth, but open up more space in landfills.
El Paso's climate. It's hot, dry, and can sometimes be unbearing. Whenever it comes time to start planting, people find it hard to do even the smallest of activities.
The soil is very hard and lacks certain elements for which plants need to grow. And if you can't find soil, there's always plenty of sand.
True.
Because we live in a desert environment, we only get about 9.7 inches of rainfall and 7 inches of snow per year.
The weather plays an important role in how a plant grows, but it is also affected by the elements that are found in soil.
Many of the nutrients that plants need are already found in the earth itself.
Now you may be asking, what's the point of using a fertilizer if the nutrients is already found in the soil?
And the answer to that question, Stephanie, is that fertilizer is giving plants an extra boost of crucial nutrients that they need to grow.
If you look closely at the graph, you can see that out of all the nutrients, carbon dioxide is found the most in natural soil and fertilizer.
And that makes the most sense because of the cycle the carbon dioxide goes through.
This cycle is called the carbonation cycle. Carbon dioxide that is left in the Earth's atmosphere is dissolved by rainwater that is transferred into groundwater, and whatever isn't completely transferred into the groundwater itself is transferred into soil.
Once the carbon dioxide is inside the river water, it is fused with eroded material from the rainfall and is then taken down to ocean and lakes.
Once the carbon dioxide is completed fusing together, it creates a material called carbonated rocks, which will rest on the ocean and lake floors.
And in time, the carbonated rocks sink into the Earth's mantle and are brought back through volcanic gas.
That's good because carbon dioxide is one of the main elements that a plant needs to survive. Not only that, but plants produce oxygen, which is what we need to survive.
But due to the fact we live in a desert environment, it's hard to find even the smallest amount of natural soil.
And that's where our purpose comes in. We want people to know how fertilizer that contains animal manure can have a big effect on plant growth.
When the time comes for zookeepers to clean out the animal enclosure, where is all the manure taken?
The manure is transferred into landfills and begins to collect over time.
4 African elephants alone, on average, produce 6.7 tons of manure a week and close to 350 tons a year.
And that's just African elephants alone. Our local zoo offers 11 species of herbivores.
That's 350 tons of space that can be used for unrecyclable products such as wax paper, dryer sheets, and solid aluminum cans.
As we began to research other zoos around the nation, one zoo in particular stood out above the rest.
This zoo is called the Woodland Park Zoo. It is located in Seattle, Washington, and is home to many different animal species.
But the Woodland Park Zoo only has 9 herbivore species.
And although they do not have a lot of herbivores, they have one of the best fertilizer programs that we've seen.
In fact, they process and sell the fertilizer right inside the zoo grounds.
The process begins when fresh manure and straw bedding is collected from animal enclosures.
Once all the manure and straw bedding is collected, they gather leaves, wood chips, and other organic materials from the zoo grounds. Once all of it is collected, they mix it with the manure and straw mixture.
So they never have to spend more money than what they have to, because most of the materials that they use are found right inside the facilities.
Once the material is gathered, it is watered and piled into long rows. It then quickly heats up, reaching temperatures up to 150 degrees. The high temperatures destroy pathogens and weed seeds.
The piles are turned and watered until the mixture becomes dark and crumbly, bearing little resemblance to the original components.
When this process is complete, which can take up to 3 months, the compost is cooled and ready to use in home gardens. They also offer instructions on how to make your own composting bin at home and what materials you can and cannot use inside the compost.
As we continue to look at the Woodland Park Zoo, we learn that they are part of a national program called ZooDo.
We were baffled by this because none of us have ever heard of this program.
And then a question popped into our mind. Why don't we have this program at our local zoo?
We got in contact with El Paso Zoo to answer our questions, and they informed us that they have a contract with New Green Organics.
And this brought up more questions than it did answers. Who is the New Green Organics? Where were they located? Why has no one ever heard of them?
Thankfully, the employees gave us the information we needed to get in contact with them and learn more about what they do.
We held a phone interview to gain more information about who they are and what they do for our community.
The New Green Organics is a fertilizer company that is located in Vinton, Texas.
They started their company about 3 years ago and said they had a very successful program and wonderful partnership with El Paso Zoo.
They informed us that they prefer to use animal manure that comes from animals that eat vegetation, such as elephants and giraffes.
Our final question was, when would they prefer to sell fertilizer and if they would sell it to the general public?
We found out from this interview that they indeed do sell it to the general public and they prefer to sell it during the springtime.
Now that we have learned who the New Green Organics was, we are hoping to make a possible partnership between them and our school district.
It's going to take a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but it will all be worth it in the end to help better the environment in our communities.
Do you have any questions or concerns you would like to ask us?
Yes.
I do. Is it smelly?
No. No.
Okay. Have you seen the end result? Have you seen where it looks good?
Maybe. Yeah, it looks like a normal fertilizer. So there's not really a difference. It's just a difference in the elements that are found in the manure.
Okay. And the plant looks the same at the end of the...
It actually comes out better than what it did. Because we did like a little experiment to see, and it came out way better than using regular fertilizer.
That's awesome.
Okay. Any other questions?
I do. In regards, first, thank you all for the presentation and getting involved in the organization you represent and kind of deal. I do have a question in regards to what does the future look like in regards to, you mentioned the possible working with the contract and seeing how we can.
Well, we were hoping for you guys to make a possible partnership because, as you can see, the paper that we had handed you, chemical fertilizer isn't really safe for students to be around because, and it's also not good for plants too because it shortens their life as plants, and organic fertilizer can lengthen the plant growth, so that's less money that we have to spend to keep buying fertilizer to keep the plants alive. Yes.
Did you present this to Mr. Ron Gill, since we do have some that he does plant some crops here within the district?
I am hoping to do that sometime this week, hopefully by Tuesday.
Well, tell him that you did present to the board, okay, sure. Too, all right? Good job, guys. You did a great job.
Any other questions?
Congratulations for all those studies that you already made. So are you planning to bring back to the district, right?
Well, yes.
Put it in our schools to keep everything more green?
Yes.
You already started in your house?
Yes. My mom's plant crazy, so... Yeah.
I just want to ask, for example, the chemical-based fertilizers with the organic-based fertilizer, is it the same consumption of water?
Yes.
Is it the same or less?
More, it's less.
It's
going to be less. The organic fertilizer will help the plants maintain and hold more water.
Exactly. It's going to keep it more moisture. Right? Very good.
Very good job. Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Any other questions?
No. Thank you
Would
so
you
much.
Take this to the competition?
Yes, this is actually part of one of the educational presentations that we need for our competition. We leave the 23rd and we have our competition the 24th.
And where would you go?
Lubbock, Texas.
All right.
We wish you luck.
Yes.
When you're presenting, look up and talk to the people, okay? Because they'll want that when you present, isn't that right? I know you. I did bring in. A little slower, and make sure you project your voice, because it's a great project, and you did it. You had great information. All it is now is the finesse.
Thank you all so much. This was so really good. I mean, you took the science fair project to the ultimate. We thank you. And could we take a picture with you all?
Of course.
Okay.
What school you're attending, actually?
We are
in high school. Yes, all of you? High school or middle school?
High school.
FCCLA, right?
We want
you're
Trump.
Well, yeah, you're
yeah, yeah.
You're really good. Now get the back.
I know they're somewhere this front.
We go down front.
Yeah.
You can be all down there by yourself. Okay, you get their copies of book counts. Teacher.
Oh, there you are right there, sorry, I'm taking the picture of my babies.
Thank you, Miss Castillo. We'll be rooting you on the whole way. Thank you. Do well and travel safely.
Thank you.
That is state you're going to. So I would like to, we have had some requests to move. We've got principals and teachers here in the audience. We've had some requests to move C2, C4, C5, D1, and D2 to the front. Is the board fine with that?
Could you do the D's again? I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. D1 and D2.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so C2, 4, 5, D1, 2. Everybody good? Okay, Sonia, that'll be fine. Start with C2, please.
Discussion and recommendation regarding a memorandum of agreement between Gunfio ISD and the Coalition for Family Economic Progress. Dr. Reyes.
Good evening.
Good evening, Dr. Reyes. Thank you.
I have with me Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Hi. From United Way of El Paso. So she'll be here to answer any questions.
Okay.
Did you want me to expand on the item or?
Just something brief. Not too much.
I just remember.
Yeah, could you just give us a little overview there?
Sure. The memorandum of agreement is a coalition of school districts along with GECU,
mm-hmm.
United Way. We are one of those school districts, and I'm very proud to say that we are now a VITA site. If you recall last year, and the year before that, actually it's been 2 years now, we've had MyFreeTaxes.com available at Battlefield High School during tax season.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to accommodate families, support them by allowing them to get on and do their taxes, but support them with questions they may have and filing. We stepped it up a notch this year, and we are now a VITA site, which is a volunteer income tax assistance program. We are very proud to say that one of our business teachers from CTE at the high school has helped to push this through. She is certified. We have 12 students, a custodian from the high school and his wife that are also certified through the IRS program, and they are now able to assist families in filing their taxes through the VITA program.
Great.
So we have two tiers. We have the MyFreeTaxes.com assistance available for families that would like to come in and do their taxes there with us, and we have people available to answer questions for them. But we also have the VITA, where they actually sit one-on-one and help them file their taxes. Well, they file their taxes for them and help prepare them.
That's awesome.
So this memorandum of agreement is just a formal way of saying that we are now part of this coalition, and we are there to support financial literacy as well as the income tax assistance and anything that we can do when it comes to their financial assistance.
And Dr. Reyes, students as well as adults can be helped through this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So it's everyone?
Yes. Our first Saturday we were open, we had 47 families show up, so there was actually a line outside.
Excellent.
The library. We were able to file 24 families. We returns, thank you. And we had 8 that we began the process, but there was some kinks with their documentation or whatever the issue was. So some of them were coming back. Our second Saturday was this past Saturday. However, because of the issue with the internet, we had to provide a fast pass to those families. As a matter of fact, they're doing it tonight. So that's why Ms. Belpadon isn't here, the CTE teacher, because she's over there with the 12 kids or a portion of the team, and they are actually working with those families right now to help file those returns.
Where are they?
They're at the high school,
okay.
in the library, one of the computer labs in the library.
Okay.
At Dunfield High School.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Reyes, are the students that are involved, I know that you said Ms. Beltran, so they're probably either the Professionals of America or the...
they're the BLA.
The FBLA.
FBLA. So are they getting their credit for graduation, if you know, as far as their volunteer credits? Yes.
Yes, they can do that through the Volunteer Community Service.
Great.
They are also looking at a possibility of maybe taking a form of this. You heard the FCTLA,
mm-hmm.
how they're going to be looking at their competition. This is something that Ms. Belpadon may look at working
excellent.
With to take to competition because they are actually assisting the community.
Yeah, that's real life.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's great. I just was making sure that they were making
and
track of their
I
hours.
I want to say this, that at the end of tax season, I would like to recognize these 12
absolutely.
Students,
mm-hmm.
this teacher,
mm-hmm.
this custodian, and his wife,
yeah.
who are volunteering their hours.
Volunteer.
Their hour, they are volunteering.
Yeah.
The first Saturday, we worked 8 o'clock to 3:15. So they're giving up a Saturday, 7 Saturdays during tax season to do this. And I'm very proud to say that custodian had heard that we were doing this program. His wife is trying to be an accountant, so they asked if they could participate to have that skill for her, and then he said, well, I'm gonna do it with you. And now, because they do have the skill, they wanna pay it forward, and so they are participating as volunteers as well.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
So Dr. Gelabis, could we possibly, Ms. Sonia, do you know when our April board meeting is? Do you have the?
Possibly at our April board, I'm pretty sure it's going to be after the 15th.
Yes, ma'am.
If it's after the 15th.
At our April board meeting, Ms. Sonia, could you add recognition of these, all the individuals or the units that were there? We'd love to recognize them.
Thank you.
I mean, taxes is one of those kind of things, you know, where the walls start coming in around you. Never are very comfortable. So it's amazing that we've got this service.
Right. And so that this memorandum of agreement is just a formalized that we are participating in that coalition. I do want to also recognize that we are the only VITA site on the far west side. The closest one to us is the UTEP site.
Thank you.
And that's where that meeting will be, April the 25th.
That'll be perfect.
April the 25th.
April 25th, sound good?
Yes, I'll make sure that we let Ms. Beltran and the...
Well, just ask him if it's good for them and, you know, amazing.
Unless there's competition or whatever the case is, but most certainly.
So if you will, please contact Ms. Sonia. She can hook us up and maybe we'll have a little cake or something. But we really appreciate this, and I'm sure our community does. Ms. Gail Dale.
I'd like to just say a couple of things.
Yes, ma'am.
That is that we also have a community volunteer, Dr. Sherry Diaz, who did the training for the students and trained some of them to the advanced level on the Lincoln Learn, which is an IRS site. And this program is only being done in two other districts at two other high schools, Devalia High School in Isleta and Bowie, with their DECA program over at, well, with their Bowie kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's only 13 VITA sites in town. So this was a really, this is what we were striving for 2 years ago when we were looking at the strategy. And so we really appreciate the thought and effort put in by the CTE program and the students. And we only see this as growing, and then we will have some statistics that will show us how many returns were done in this zip code by those kids because of the VITA site.
Yeah.
But also in the My Free Taxes, I get an aggregated list of how many people filed for the year, and if any of them were eligible for earned income tax.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we'll see is at least a couple $1 million of returns that people get from this program. And with their, if they qualify for earned income credit, we'll be able to have all those statistics. And these kids will not only know their hours of volunteering, but this is a skill that they'll be able to use later in life. And some of them may become accounting majors and CPAs someday. So down the road, you're going to see the impact that not only has in your community and bringing in income, but the effect of these families feeling self-sufficient, being able to stay in their community, get their tax returns done, and just it growing. And I know, and you'll notice on these brochures that I gave you that you're also allowing a partnership with Anthony ISD for them to come in, or any EPISD families that live in 79932 or 12 or 22 to do this as well. So we will have all those statistics for you. We appreciate the partnership, and we're glad that you're so willing to do these things for the good of your kids and the good of your community. So thank you very much.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Are we recommending this to go to consent agenda?
Yes, ma'am. Is that your recommendation?
Yes.
Everybody good with this?
Yes.
Ma'am. Thank you. This will go to the consent agenda for our regular meeting. Thank you very much.
And thank you so much for your efforts.
I'm thinking some IRS agents you may even make out of these people.
Maybe they'll be nice ones.
Yes, because they come from Kenyon, they'll be nice ones.
And these brochures, United Way picked up this, and they'll go in the backpacks on Tuesday,
great.
I guess.
Oh, great.
Because our next tax Saturday will not be this Saturday, but because of the holiday, it'll be next Saturday.
The 25th.
There'll be one in March and two in April, and they're listed on this.
Oh,
and
great.
The kids are also really good at translating for parents, and this is also providing an opportunity of families that don't have internet to get their taxes done.
Excellent, excellent service. Super. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you, Dr. Reyes, for bringing this to us. We appreciate you.
Thank you for your support.
You bet. Sonia, next item, please.
Yes. 4, discussion and recommendation regarding the facilities request by the El Paso County Elections Department for the May 6, 2017 uniform election and subsequent elections. Ms. Ruiz.
Are there any questions?
No.
Does the board have any questions of this?
No. I'm up here with the...
No. Everybody good? Mm-hmm. We're good to recommend this. Yes, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms.
Lawson. Item 5, discussion and recommendation regarding the unlimited tax refunding bonds, series 2017. Mr. Mejia.
Good evening, Mr. Mejia. It's a pleasure to have you with us. We always hear ka-ching, seems like, when you come.
Well, good evening, and thank you for that comment. For the record, my name is Rudy Mejia with Estrada Hinojosa. I am the district's financial advisor. And what I'm doing today is providing the board with some information on an upcoming financing opportunity that the district does have. This presentation should be in your board packet. I think everyone has it, sir.
It's not connected.
Or it's not on.
That's okay. I'll take it.
Dr. G, would you like me to open this up here?
Does the board have any questions of Mr. Mejia?
Just one question. One is in regards to, I guess, the amount that we're able to refinance every year, and then what possible savings to the district are we getting?
So right now there's a total of about $18 million of bonds that are eligible to be refunded.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm looking at more of a $9 million refunding that would save us approximately $1 million. That would put us about $5 million over the past 3 years that we've saved on the INS tax side.
And what's the amount that's callable? Is it 10?
So we have $18 million that's eligible, advanced refundable is the term. However, because rates are where they're at right now, which they've moved up ever since after the election,
mm-hmm.
I'm recommending that the district do a $9 million refunding to take advantage of what's called bank qualified rates, which are much lower yields. And so with that, then we'll be able to achieve the savings that are more beneficial to the district and the taxpayer.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Are there any, Ms. Fonda, do you have? Mr. Mejia, thank you very much. We look forward to the savings, and thank you, Ms. Bikarski, for working with him that we're going to realize this. And do we recommend this to the consent agenda?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate you, sir. Next agenda item, Sonia.
Item D1. Discussion and recommendation to approve the purchase of laptops to supplement instruction at Posada and Sofia Garcia Elementary, utilizing Decision Tree Technologies. The vendor offers the best value through cooperative DIRSDD 2030 Texas. Total cost $16,031. Ms.
Ayan.
Good evening, Ms. Ariano. Does the board have any questions?
No. I looked over the paperwork. It looks
everybody's happy. Okay. Recommend to yes, ma'am.
I just got a question. Are those laptops are going to be given away to the kids, or are they going to stay at
school? No, they stay in the classrooms of the teachers for instruction.
So it's for teachers and the students as well.
It's for teachers to instruct the students. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. To the consent agenda, please. The next agenda.
Yes, to a discussion and recommendation to approve the purchase of laptops for Olerete Middle School to provide technology and access to appropriate instructional classroom resources, utilizing Decision Tree Technologies, the vendor offering the best value to the Independent School District through DIR, SDD 2030 Texas Cooperative Contract. Total cost $29,778. Mr. Gumbel.
Good evening, Dr. Bigheel. Does anyone have any questions about these laptops?
Yes, I do.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Are these more for the students?
These are for the teachers too.
It's also for the teachers.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we foresee getting some for the students too?
We certainly have that in our plans. We've heard what you said about the one-to-one, and we're looking for the funding.
Money.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. And these computers are going to stay at school? The teachers are going to take them?
These are assigned to teachers, and so they can go back and forth.
They can go back?
Yes, ma'am.
I can move that we just consent.
Everybody's good to go to consent, Ms. Stephanie?
Yes.
Consent agenda.
Yes.
And that would take us back to B1.
Alright. Board business. Number one, discussion and recommendation regarding the resolution referencing multifamily housing developments located in the school district.
So, we have been approached by the state and the developer. The district has received a letter from each. The letter from the state specifically asked for feedback. And it says they actually greatly value our feedback. So with that said, we feel that we need to give feedback. And we have taken thought about this, and I have a statement I'd like to read that I think covers a lot of the questions.
Ms. Searles,
yes,
before you read that statement, that was just given to us today, and I don't agree with everything that's on that statement.
Okay.
So
Do you want to hold that further?
So I just want to say that I don't agree with what's that statement.
Okay.
If we can just have the statement read, since so it's
Do you want it read? Or do you want it?
No, you can read whatever you want.
Or do you want to wait? I mean, it's all this is formulation. Nothing in stone. How do you feel? Read or no?
I mean, read it. I mean, it was passed.
Read it. It was, it's public record. It was given to us.
So it seems to kind of embrace some thoughts about the issue. The KNUTU-ISD has developed a resolution in response to the housing development within the district. KNUTU-ISD strives to provide all our students the best education possible. As with many districts around the state of Texas, CISD is a property-poor district. Our state gives us some educational dollars based on student enrollment, but the majority of the educational effort is from our community tax base. Public education has been an issue for Texas and the nation. This developer is receiving a tax credit from the state of Texas. It is in his best interest to build this development. KNUTU-ISD will receive, we're not really sure what kind of monies we're going to receive from this, but it is not going to be the full tax effort that we would get if it was a private citizen putting up an apartment complex. Additionally, no one can give us any assurances that our families, our children from the KNUTU district that reside here, will have priority for this housing. This is not within the developer or our realm to accomplish this. But our board would like our community to be considered first for this housing. If indeed all of this happens, we feel that that is really paramount. Additionally, our district received correspondence from the Texas Housing Authority in Austin. This agency solicited our input on this development and the impact that it would bring to our district. Even the state realizes that this development could create a burden to our current resources and the schools within the district. As stated, KNUTU-ISD has limited resources, and it is our job to educate our children to meet their potential. The Board of Trustees, that would be us, we need to be good stewards of these resources. Furthermore, KNUTU-ISD must maintain a positive and competitive environment for all our employees. It's simplistic to say that additional students without any community tax effort would not be an additional burden to the district. However, with that said, if the state of Texas grants the developer the tax incentive to build this property, our district will prepare ourselves to welcome and educate any new students that would come to our district. Our district has great schools, incredible students, and a wonderful workforce, and we will continue to meet the needs of all of our stakeholders today and in the future. So, with that said, we have a resolution, which is actually, it was not our creative resolution. It was from a neighboring district, a very property poor district also. And you understand that property poor is one of the things that ties our hands, and I'm very passionate about this. We had Mrs. Trout, our brand new school board trustee, recently in a goal setting meeting asking out of pure innocence, why do we not have German? Why do we not have Latin? Why do we not have Chinese? Why do we not have magnet schools? Why do we not have all these things that the El Paso School District has to offer, or that the Socorro District or the Isleta District has to offer? And we can only shake our heads and say, because we don't have the funds. We are a property poor district. In the state of Texas, education is funded by the local property tax owners, the payers, as you would have it. When you have extreme wealth, is in the case of, I'll use Andrews, Texas, with all their oil. They're giving back millions of dollars every day to the state, which the state then disperses to the rest of us in small increments. But yet, as you can hear and see, that we have yet to come into our own to give our students the things that the other districts have. We don't have the resources. The resources are coming from property taxes. These units that they're proposing to put in are not going to bring those property taxes to our district that we so desperately need to lift the ship so that the students that we have can go to Lubbock and be able to present at a state competition. That, I can tell you, it's always somewhat of a, and I hate to use the word fear, but we almost are a little cautious that our kids would be so awesome to get to go to state every year, because we don't have the funds to be able to finance them to go. And so it causes money to come from somewhere else for our children to be able to go to these competitions. That money's got to come from somewhere. It's not coming from the federal government, and it's not coming from the state. It's coming from our local property taxes. And this is why we feel that we indeed need the property tax money that would come from 48 housing units. And that is our need, and that's the need we are going to, I believe, relay to the state, that we have needs, and our needs need to be filled financially so that educationally our children will have equity and parity, the same as our surrounding districts have. As, you know, and I hate to say it, but we just don't have the finances to give what the other districts can. We give a lot more than we used to. You know, the tide's rising. We're getting better step by step. I've been on the board on and off since 1993. When I got here, we were very small and our funds were even more limited. We've been able to give more as our tax base has grown and as it continues to grow with the new residential and the new, particularly commercial, things will continue to happen that are good for our students. So with that, I would like to ask the board to please give any comments, questions, or do we go forward and recommend to the consent agenda?
Are we looking at the resolution? Is that what we're looking at right now?
Well, We could look at the resolution, we could look at that piece I just wrote, but the main thing is we have to give a reply to the state. I feel if we don't, we haven't done our duty, and that we need to. They've asked us, they've solicited a reply from us, and I believe that we need to come to the table and give them a reply. Our reply is not going to do that. No. We are not the hammer that's going to fall on whether this says yes or no. It's not going to be our reply.
Input.
It's only a reply.
It's only input.
Yes, ma'am. It's simply input. And this is not money, to my understanding, from the way I read their letter, that is just for us. My understanding, it's more of a lottery.
Yes.
And that many people...
Many communities.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
This is what concerns me, is the fact that I spoke to Ms. Garza from the village of Benton, and she told me that it was to help our community, the people in our community. Mm-hmm. And I know it's through HUD, so that's on a waiting list type thing.
That's not a correct.
And with it being in the area that it's at, we're talking about our community that's very low socioeconomic.
I know.
I would like to see them being able to
absolutely
to reap from that.
Absolutely. Yes, and if a private builder
because I would be very happy
there.
About that.
Sure, we
they
would.
Need those. They need that. Somebody guarantee me that is going to go to our families because especially in that area.
Particularly in that area.
Especially.
Yes, ma'am.
I live out in that area. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I shop there. I frequent all the families there. I have family there. They really do need it. But it bothers me that they might not get any of this and they just get to see it.
Yes,
I'm like,
I understand.
You know, I wish I would have had that, but why? I don't understand why they can't have that.
Yes, I totally agree and understand what you're saying.
Because these are my people from my community,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I,
yes,
who I stand for.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
and I think I see heads bobbing everywhere. I think we all feel this way. If this was for our people,
yes, ma'am.
So that's my concern. My concern is that because those children, those families, they need that kind of housing.
I agree completely. Are there any other comments?
I wanted to hear other people's comments. I spoke about it. Well, I've gone in questions, so I wanted to see the system before I actually jot down some points that I have. So.
I'd like to hear your comments.
Well, I'm waiting for y'all. And
may I?
Yes, ma'am.
If someone had asked me a couple of years ago, and Ms. Searles knows this, when I was a principal and administrator up here, they told me that we were going to get some units that would come in. And I said, bring them on. Go ahead. And she said, do you understand the ramifications? I said, well, no. And as a private citizen, I can say, yes, I'm for it. But I don't have that luxury anymore. I'm a trustee. I understand what it is to run a school. I've ran one for 10 years. I understand the personnel costs and trying to get good people here and be able to give raises, and we have one of the best insurance packages in the county. I understand what that costs. I was an advocate, and anyone can tell you that I hired Tanya Teo, Vinton, and Anthony people anytime I could because they were our community. So, but I also was a principal, and I know what the federal government gave me and what the state gave me was not enough to educate kids. If you look at what we pay per child, and you look at what Plano can give per child, or any other district per child, they're giving those kids thousands of dollars of more per student than what we are. And, you know, bottom line is, if it was
It is a lottery. We might get it, we might not get it. But until Kaneateo is not in the property poor end, which will be many years to come, maybe in the next 3 or 4 years, we have to guard the resources we have to educate the kids we have now. And absolutely, I'm with Miss Quintana, totally. You know, this is from whence I come. I would not ever, you know, if we didn't have, you know, this is where my cousins grew up, this is where we would have been homeless without my grandmother. I understand the ramifications, but now I'm seeing it from a trustee's point of view. And I have to look at not just one school, but I have to look at the resources for every kid. And that's the only reason that I can say that I'd have to not vote for this. But that's, and it provides me great angst. However, I do think it's the benefit of everybody that we have here in the district.
Thank you. Mr. Rodriguez?
Anybody else, or?
I'm ready to comment.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay. As I was looking at the resolution that was given to us that was not read this evening, one of the statements is that these students are going to bring an additional burden to our district, and they have social problems and any other kinds of related problems.
Yeah.
Me, as the board knows, I'm a social worker, and I don't believe poor kids come with social problems, nor are a burden to our school district. And that's why I had said when Ms. Searles read the statement.
I would agree with that, Ms.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Matter of fact, I have no problem.
Yeah.
Mine's all marked up, Ms. Stephanie. Yeah, we haven't gotten
right.
there yet.
Thank you.
Right.
Well,
because
Thank
this
you.
Was given to us, and so it.
It wasn't ours.
This actually came from another school district within Region 19 that is also a property poor district. We just used it as a go-by.
Okay. Well, I wasn't told that. I was told this is what was going to be given back to them.
No, this is just formulative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So also at the bottom of the letter that was given to us by the state of Texas, it says. At the very bottom paragraph, mm-hmm. it says, these developments benefit Texans in your school district by providing potential employment, local tax revenue, affordable, safe, and high-quality housing for eligible households. It would really be, for lack of better words, silly of us to tell the HUD it has to be ours,
exactly.
because that's not the way it works.
They're
on a waiting list, like Ms. Quintana stated.
Yes.
And whoever's next is who's going to be able to move into this development. Keep in mind that these kids will eventually bring us money to our district, because it is a child that's in
mm-hmm.
her seat,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. And it will bring employment, because somebody's going to have to upkeep this. It will, no matter what, we'll still benefit in some ways or another. We can't always think of property. The property is possibly just sitting there, not accumulating the way we could start accumulating money, just as other properties in our district that is not accumulating money the way we could be. I just want to make it very clear that I don't think that these kids are going to be a burden to us in any way, and that kids, no matter what income status they are, they come as children, and we need to educate them just like anybody else. That's all I have.
Is that the next to last paragraph?
Yeah.
It's in paragraph 5, 7, and 8, and I've got written no
okay.
on mine, that the word social needs to be removed.
Well, and a burden. I'm not in agreement for this whole statement to go back. We need to say, I feel that we need to say we're going to welcome whatever development that comes into our district, no matter whether it's low income, high income, whether it's a
no, you don't seem to understand.
Yes,
you
I
don't.
Do.
No, you don't.
I do.
I promise you, you don't.
Okay.
Or you
well,
wouldn't be saying what you were. It'll bring no tax effort. Do you understand that?
It's going to bring us money because the child's going to come with their money.
But they don't
pay property taxes. Taxes is what you're not listening to.
I understand that we're not going to get property taxes off.
And that is how our school is.
I do understand that. But either way, we're going to get funding for that child to attend school here.
And that is not enough. As you know, we've been through this in budget.
So then people that are not renting, or that are renting in our district, we shouldn't allow them to come in our district?
Yes, absolutely. The place they rent from pays property taxes. Did you not just pay your property taxes?
Yeah.
And every apartment building, everything in the whole world pays taxes. This is not going to get us a tax effort. And that's the problem, is the tax effort.
I would like that, if I might, Madam.
Yes, sir.
Clarify, because I do believe they do pay a portion of taxes in regards to our local tax base. If it were from the Housing Authority or something like that, that's separate in regards to a private developer creating this section. So I do believe there is a tax base. So I would like that.
Clarified.
Sure.
Yeah,
well, I agree. Because it says tax credit, it doesn't say completely tax free.
They get tax credit from the state of Texas in regards to building that, but it doesn't necessarily say that they do not pay taxes.
I'm not opposed to getting that clarified.
If anybody else, I didn't want to interrupt.
No, I'm done, Mr. Rodriguez.
But if nobody else, I would like to address some of the issues.
Yes, sir.
One, looking at a property poor school district, I think our district is not a property poor school district. It's also becoming a property wealthy school district in the state. It's about to recognize us probably in a couple of years in regards to Chapter 41. Mm-hmm. So our tax base is continuing to increase, and the way the funding formula works in the state of Texas is very complicated. And what ends up happening, and I'll use two comparison, fast-growing school districts and a fast-growing tax base as our district. You have, let's say, Socorro ISD, which has a large number that their student ADA and their student population growth is growing. So what ends up happening is they end up getting more money from the state in comparison to a school district like ours, which our property tax base is growing faster than our student population growth. So if you're looking at the development that's coming in, whether it's the hospital and the previous Outland Mall that's been here for a couple of years, you're looking at the Cabela's and all this stuff that's coming on, we're going to continue to grow into a property wealth school district, and that's going to have consequences within our tax base and where the state looks at us. Excuse me, in comparison to Socorro ISD, where you have the student population growth growing faster, so they're actually getting more tax revenue, they're getting more funding from the state, which is able to offset the actual revenues that they need from the local tax base. So what ends up happening is they're able to relieve the tax base to their property owners. And so here in our district, and I think this is sort of misleading, is the fact that you have our tax base is continuing to grow, and our student population growth isn't growing at the same rate. So what we do need is more students. In a business way, in a macro way, we need more students in our district, so that way that could help offset the actual money that we do get from the state and help our local tax base. And so we do need students. So I think this is sort of misleading in that way. And one of the things that looking at the need, we know that the need is in this community for low-income housing. And these are my people, it's my community. And we need to make sure that when you look at economics, if the need is there, you need to look at the supply. And so I think this is a good way to help supply that need or that demand in our district. And I don't feel that we should be looking at discriminating in regards to the wealthy people and low income. And so one of the things that I recommend is that we do delete this and make sure that we welcome development in our community, because we do need more students. And so that's my position, if anybody wants to.
Absolutely. I did not get on the board to discriminate against anyone, and I resent that.
Well, if you look at the actual finances, Ms. Fritzy, hang on.
Order in the court. Ms. Brigham has the floor.
Ms. Fritzy, this was given to us, and it was given to us in our packet, and it was given to us at the last meeting, and no one chose to read it. I agree totally with what you said, that we redraft it. We probably should just put draft on it, but what it says here is discussion. But just because we didn't do a homework doesn't mean you get to come in and slam.
Well, I did my homework. I've read this, trust me. You gave us this today, mm-hmm. and this was given to us.
Yeah.
Burden is on this. That was given to us, and burdens on here too.
Burden as far as with resources.
Burden is twice. These kids are not burdened.
Okay, so order in the court again. Mm-hmm. I think we all agree.
Oh, absolutely. I think we need to. Yeah, we absolutely
fine.
Need to redraft it.
But that's what we're here for, Ms. Fritzy, is to discuss this.
If anybody is saying that I didn't do my homework, I beg to differ in regards to my understanding of the complex financial system. No, I actually stated that I was in disagreement at the last meeting.
Uh-huh, sure.
So
what I'm hearing is that we'd like to...
I would recommend that we delete it or draft a more welcoming statement. I think the bigger issue here is the way the state funds school districts.
Absolutely.
And so,
not the issue tonight, Mr. Rodriguez. That's the issue for our legislature. That's why we're going to have our legislative agenda go forward to the powers that be. We need more money,
yeah,
bottom line.
What Mr. Rodriguez said
but
the last time,
but this is not
yes.
going to bring us the property values that are needed to give these children the resources, the parents and everyone else the resources needed to give them the best they can have. So I guess we're going to have to give a yay, nay, or does this move forward with modifications to the consent agenda? And the modifications that I'm hearing our social burden and a little friendlier.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe people from the board can send you ideas.
Sure, that'd be superb. Great idea. Dr. Galavis, would you be willing to?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. To ask the different board members for their thoughts
on their input.
Yeah, their input on the resolution. How to?
I would like to clarify one of the words. If it's not discriminating, I would say pick and choose of which kids come into a district. And I think one of the things is, and reading this, mm-hmm. I mean, so, and I think what we should have done, somebody should have done the homework and not put the actual resolution. Who wrote this? That's the other question.
Where on the thing, sir? On the resolution, what do you need?
Let's just go to...
No, well, because since there is, we would like to know who wrote this and who wrote the... I mean, because we were given two different pieces of material.
The one in the book was written, and we discussed all that at the meeting you weren't at.
No, this should be.
When you didn't come last week.
Right.
So that was all discussed.
Because I have a full-time job, and I was in training as well. It's not just...
I understand, but that was all discussed at that meeting. So...
I think with her changes.
This wasn't our original statement. This wasn't anything that we wrote. This was written by another district.
I did have a question. This was written by another district, and this statement was written by who?
By this.
This statement was written by a board member.
But this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're looking at the letter.
Oh, this one. Yes.
Okay. And I like some of this wording instead. So I would say that what we need to do is draft a statement that we welcome development and that we need to look at the state for extra funding, because it's not, I think we need to be more welcoming.
What about if we, maybe we could put that also in?
I would recommend, I mean, this is my recommendation. I recommend that we delete it and that we look at drafting a resolution to address, and I think we have talked about it and addressing limited English proficient students and economically disadvantaged as well as that.
You know, we don't have to have a comment back to them until March.
Yeah.
So let's work on massaging this, working it a little, coming to something that we feel better about, and we'll see that in the, what's today? Wednesday? Today's? So we're not going to see it in the Thursday packet tomorrow. It's too soon. We'll see it in next week's Thursday packet, and Dr. Galabese can take your input between now and next, let's say Wednesday. Open between now and Wednesday for board members to give some input. And then by Thursday, we can see it in the Thursday packet. See what, how it reads, and then call back in. And we'll look for something on our regular board meeting. I see Sonia nodding like you get it, right, Sonia?
Okay.
Board members, does that sound reasonable and agreeable?
Yes.
I'm fine with
other
that.
Other end of the table, fine?
Yes.
Are you fine with that?
Miss Mary?
Yes, I am.
Everybody good? Okay. So, the question is, something moves to the regular agenda for this month. Yes? Yes?
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
That we will have a document that will move forward, and then hopefully we'll have something to present for the regular meeting this month. And it may not be the end all there either, because we have until March to give our reply. So if everybody feels that's a fair...
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. And on the new business, Mr. President Jones?
No.
And new business or consent?
Yes. Mrs.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
No matter what input we give them, they can come and put up the house.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's a good
right?
That's absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can say that all we want are Martians to
you're
move
right.
into our district. And
you're right.
It doesn't really matter. That's why I gave
it's
the...
It's up to the state, correct?
It's up to the state.
It's not us who drops the hammer. This is the state's decision.
Nor is it, I think, the developer's
it's
decision.
It's not the developer's
decision. He's putting in, if you read the letter states, he's if he completes a full application and then...
That's correct.
So, yeah, it and I agree with looking at it again and definitely making those changes that Ms. Fritzi.
Yes, said. This was all came quite as a surprise to us, and the timing of it has been a surprise, and our coordination with our other neighbors has been a bit lacking as well. So now that we are able to come together, talk about this in a constructive way, I think we've got some groundwork, and I think we'll work through it real well. Everybody feels good?
Yes.
Okay. I thank you. Next agenda item.
Item C, Business Services, number 1, discussion and recommendation regarding meeting minutes, January 17th, 2017, special board meeting minutes.
Any questions on our minutes from the house meeting?
No.
No? To the consent agenda, please, Ms.
Sonia. January 17th, 2017, board training workshop meeting minutes.
I think you're good with all of them.
Okay, I think so.
Everybody good with all of them?
Everybody.
Okay,
yes.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And that will be for the January 24, 2017 regular board meeting minutes. Consent. Number 3, discussion and recommendation regarding a facilities request made by the Upper Valley Jehovah's Witness. Dr. Bismuth.
Is everyone any questions on this?
No questions.
Consent agenda?
No. Consent agenda, please.
Okay. Yes.
Item 6. Discussion and recommendation regarding the Canovillo High School football turf and CHS tennis courts, new projects utilizing bond funds. Mr. Vasquez?
Good evening, Madam President, members of the board. So at the request of the Board of Trustees, we went ahead and presented these two items to CBAC for their recommendation and approval. And we had that meeting with them. They were receptive to the possibility of using bond funds for these much necessary request repairs. And so the request is that this information be conveyed to the board so that in turn, we would be able to solicit quotes, and once we get those, we'll be brought to your attention for review and approval.
Mr. Vasquez, I have one question.
For
CBAC.
Yes, ma'am.
Did they hear this?
Yes, absolutely. We had a meeting with them on Monday.
Oh, perfect. And they're good?
Yes, they've made that recommendation.
Okay. So we have a recommendation from CBAC to, if you look on page 47 of your book, to add the turf at the high school. And I don't really think it's a turf, is it? It's the stuffing under the turf, correct?
Well, that's part of the scope of work that we are trying to get from the vendor, the infill, yes. So we're working with several vendors to provide us what the scope of work is.
But it's not new turf, it's the stuffing
underneath. It's not a completely new turf.
Okay.
It's the little black thing.
The balls.
Right? The little, okay.
That is part of it, but also the fabric.
It is, it's like a little.
It is rubber, yes.
It's like
rubber
tires.
Okay, and this is a safety issue, yes?
It is a safety issue.
And our tennis courts are the other issue, safety issue?
It is.
Cracked up?
It is,
right. So does the board feel comfortable?
Yes, I just have one quick question. You'll make sure that we have good warranties and all of that good stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Of course, with wear and tear, of course, I understand. Yeah. Eventually, we'll have to do it.
But thank you, Ms. Fritzi, because we had an issue with that the first time around, if you'll remember.
And then proper maintenance, of course, because I know some districts vacuum it to make sure that the dirt doesn't stay in there, and then it compound or something like that. I read them.
Yes, ma'am. That is part of the scope of work that we're working to achieve before we put it out for bids.
Okay.
Pardon, do we have that equipment with
Fritzi,
do you know?
No, we don't.
I don't know.
We don't have all the equipment.
The maintenance
to provide
is a big
maintenance
deal
for the
field. Oh, okay.
I just got, real quick, it was on, well, it's pretty much on all items. On the community input, were we going to wait towards the end or after? And I just saw the mayor here, and I don't want to disrespect.
No, I spoke to the mayor, and he was all smiles. He was happy.
Then was he going to speak?
No. Well, if he was, he already knew it was in the end for community input.
Okay.
And just about agenda items, yes.
Yeah.
And we've got some, I see Ms. Uvencia Ontiveros and the...
Ms. Pettis.
And Ms., well, she's not community, but she's here to possibly speak. But we've got a community member here who she may want to speak to, I don't know. But no, I don't think there was any issue. The mayor was happy, correct? He was smiling, nodding.
Is he outside or is he?
Dr. Gallaby said he spoke to him, so we're happy. I think everything's good.
I don't want to be disrespectful.
No, I don't believe we were, Mr. Rodriguez. Back to the football field.
I'm okay with recommending
consent. Consent agenda? Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for the CBAC's input, we really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Item 7, discussion and recommendation regarding the monthly financials.
Any questions, Board?
No.
Yes, ma'am.
Number 8, discussion and recommendation regarding the monthly warrant list.
I'm okay to recommend.
Okay. Number 9, discussion and recommendation regarding the monthly donation report.
Everybody good?
Okay. Consent. Number 10, discussion and recommendation regarding budget amendments. Consent. Number 11, discussion and recommendation regarding the quarterly investment report for December 31st, 2016.
Everybody copy?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Consent. Number 12, discussion and recommendation for final payment to Horizon Construction LTD for the Deanna Davenport ES site improvements using bond funds, $12,731.50.
Any questions?
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Yes.
I just want to ask if we already ran out of the warranty, right?
Yes, we did.
The warranty start to run from the time that they start to build up or when they finish?
When they achieve substantial completions. That is a time of period when whatever project is built is ready to be used for its intended purpose. After that date, usually the document that is signed, assigning that date, gives typically 15 days for the contractor to finish any outstanding punch list items, and those were completed already. So the date of substantial completion is the start of the warranty period.
So, and what about in parts? Do we have any warranties in parts like this and the irrigation system? Nothing?
I'm not aware of any additional warranties for any of the components. What I can tell you right now is the components are working as of today.
I'm working good.
We went ahead and as part of the audit process that we went through, at the request of the board, we noted that all of the components are currently working as installed originally.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Powell. Is everybody good with this to the consent agenda?
Yes.
Yes,
yes.
Number 13, discussion and recommendation to upgrade CMS intrusion alarm system by contracting with Privacom Systems, Inc. using Region 19 Cooperative Contract 1570077, total amount not to exceed $18,000.
Any questions for
him? I have just one.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Vasquez, I thought when I was reading something that also had something about the AMS science wing. Was there anything in that, or was that maybe getting my packets mixed up?
The package that I submitted includes the costs for all of the campus's improvements. However, because of the cost, we are not able to proceed with all of the campuses at the same time.
I know CMS has had an issue. I was just, but okay, never mind. Thank you. So, are you going to hold off on those other issues, those other things, for maybe next year, next
agenda? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
This one, I'm sorry, includes like cameras, control panels, installation, wiring, labor, warranty.
Yes, not cameras. Not cameras, but motion sensor detector, control panels, new wiring, all the components of that intrusion system.
How about the sound?
The sound?
Will they put
yes.
The sound?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes, ma'am. And do they offer some warranty?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Could I know what
kind of
warranty?
We I don't have what the warranty is. I can provide it to you as part of the additional documentation, but I don't have with me any.
It is on our packet.
Yeah, but my question is in over the parts or cameras or panels
it says,
or labor
it
or
says,
service.
Yeah, it has it on here. It says new components installed. Our warranty for a period of 1 year, and then it gives into description for labor, replacement, repair components.
What page was it?
Maintenance and components.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Thank you.
It says about service.
Share with the
warranty.
Stephanie, what page?
79?
I don't know what page is yours. Page 4 on mine of the. So I don't know what page is yours.
Page 76.
Oh, it's 79.
It's
79.
It's 79.
It's
79.
It's 79.
Yes, it does.
It is right there.
And it includes the price. Okay. Uh-huh. I don't know, service. Okay. It talks about service here for example. Maintenance service will be provided. Maintenance service. It says any time that the school needs it, when something is broken, they come and they said after certain dates, they're going to charge per hour $145.
This is in case of an emergency after hours or during holidays. The reason why this is you know, every so often, you know, electronic components may fail, mm-hmm. And so what they are providing us with, along with this package, is you know the information ahead of time so that we don't get any surprises. We know how much they're going to charge us for any warranty calls that we make.
Thank you.
Exactly. Not warranty calls, but service calls.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you very much.
And then also, Ms. Trout, about our cameras, I know that that's part of us having to maintain our cameras better. So that's something that Mr. Carrillo is working on as far as making sure that our cameras have batteries and all that. So that in case maybe something like this does happen, maybe we can wait till the next business day and we can utilize the cameras.
Oh, good.
Okay. So we need to wait on that end. We support him for the cameras.
Sure. Who said that? Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Carrillo.
Everybody good to recommend to the consent agenda?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Item 14, discussion and recommendation for final payment to Stout Hardwood Floor Company for installation of hardwood floor in Agamotea High School main in New Gems. Total cost is $29,246.39.
Are there any questions?
Mm-hmm. No questions.
Okay. Just wanted to let the board know the basketball team and the high school principals here are very excited. Thank you for acting and fixing those two gym floors. And just want to announce, and I'm stretching the agenda, is that Friday our boys made the playoffs, so they'll be playing at El Paso High.
They're playing for fourth place.
Made the playoffs.
Correct. If they win fourth place, they play Andrus on Monday.
Yes.
When is
Friday?
Will you send test results?
And then maybe we can have them for the regular work meeting or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
This was due to the rain.
It was.
Have we fixed the flaw that caused this to happen?
Not yet, ma'am. Okay. We have been working on other projects. However, this one needs to move a little bit ahead of time because of the rainy season that may start, you know, in a few months. So I think we still have some time to fix it before the next rain is coming.
So it's on your radar?
It is.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay. Everybody good to the consent agenda?
Yes.
Thank you. Next agenda item, please.
Item 15, discussion and recommendation to create interlocal purchasing agreements with El Paso Independent School District and Socorro Independent School District. Listen.
I had some questions on this. In our paperwork, it's with EPISD and SISD. Yet when you read the contract, there's no mention of SISD.
There's two agreements, and they look identical, except one says EPISD and the other says SISD.
Okay, we must have only gotten the one then.
Okay, it should be all, it might just be a long continuation.
Okay, so they're both there, because that was my question. We only got El Paso.
It's on the next continuation.
They're four pages
right there,
long.
Keep going. It's on this, okay, right after the one that you showed me.
I see, this. Okay,
yeah,
we're on.
There it is.
Yeah.
Oh. Will this bring us savings?
Yes, it should, just because it's their solicited contract. So, of course, vendors, when they submit, they want to always provide a savings. But it also will keep us in compliance with some of the vendors that we use on a regular basis, that some of the cooperatives that are highly used don't have those vendors on there. Does that make sense?
No.
So, our purchases, our policies here are purchases up to $3,000, you need a quote. $3,000 to $10,000, they supply three quotes. So a lot of times if they want to go out, say Sam's Club, for example, they're not on Vibor Cooperative, they're not on the Allied contract. So by using these, EPISD already has negotiated contracts with like Sam, so that way we can use them. It's a benefit to us. For example, we had one of the schools wanted to buy some items for the department, and it was a tremendous cost savings. It was probably about, I think, $500 per item savings by going to Sam's Club rather than, and that's after they did their homework.
Yeah.
So whatever can help them do what they need to do and do it in a, save the district as much money as we can. There's a whole list of contracts out there. And that's some research I'm going to look into, is some of their contracts that are more home-based because of the district. There might be better savings for us.
Because we always prefer, what you just said was really our heart. We like home-based business too. We, you know, we're very local. Think globally, buy locally. And we don't want to miss that. We don't want to leave our people behind. This isn't going to do that.
No, this encourages a lot of local companies, yes.
I'm looking down y'all's way.
She's nodding.
Everybody's got a nodding face. Okay. Thank you. To the consent agenda.
Item 3, human resources. Number 1, discussion and recommendation regarding the position upgrade for the early childhood coordinator due to relocation of duties from the employee development coordinator position. Ms. Gatsby.
Are there any questions for Ms. Crossman?
In regards to the current position is a employee development coordinator position?
Yes, sir. That employee in that position retired January 31st, and we are not filling the position.
We are not filling?
No, sir.
So the early childhood coordinator is a position in what grade?
The early childhood coordinator is a position that we have within CNI, and some of the duties from the position that we're no longer filling are being added to that job description. Everyone else in that department is at a level 4, so we're going to make current a level 4. I've included the amount of the upgrade in your paperwork, and so of course we're going to divvy up those duties. We're going to use some of the
so there'll be a savings to the district.
There is a savings. Yeah. We will use some of the salary to upgrade that position. However, the bulk of the salary is going to be reallocated to the campus for staff development.
Is that coming out of the campus, or
it's coming out of Fund 255, which is Title II staff development funds.
Okay. I just got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Since when the teacher she's working with us?
When she was hired. When she was hired? I don't have the exact hire date. Are you talking about the employee development?
Yeah,
what
I would like to know,
when was the last time that we reviewed her salary payment in order for her to get an increase in that? When she was hired, when she's here with us?
Well, normally
I just wanted to know the period of time.
Normally when there is a significant change in duties in the employee's job description, that's at that point that we can go ahead and make changes to a pay grade. In this case, we are saving from the position that we're not going to post. We're going to close that position. So because some of those duties, she is going to be now handling new teacher training, and all student teachers that come to the district are going to be under that individual's responsibility. There has been a significant change in the scope of duties, and so we are just going to, and that's why the recommendation is before you, to upgrade her position.
Because of these new duties that she's going to...
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
So I noticed what's in blue is what you added, is that correct? Yeah, it's number, you know, the guidance, it says the teacher induction program.
Yes, the changes to the job description. What is in blue is the added responsibilities.
Okay. Are we still using the T-TES?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And she'll be the one, so she'll be guiding the new teachers that come in? And okay, so she'll be doing like with that thing as far as what Judy Jimenez was doing, right?
Yes.
And she's going to be training the new teachers?
Yes,
and, okay.
That's correct.
All right.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, may I ask a question? How long has this person been with the district?
I don't have that information before.
Year, 2 years, 3 years?
It's been longer than that.
It's been, yes.
Yeah.
probably at least four.
And I can tell you that in the current position that she has, she's been there probably, I want to say, a couple of years.
And she came from
Region 19.
Region 19, right. She was the early childhood coordinator at Region 19. And then she came here.
Page 124 talks about teen tests, Ms. Brigham.
I just wasn't sure we were still doing that. That's
okay.
The reason why.
I just, and it's the blue.
Yes, I was thinking.
I just saw it.
Yeah, we weren't doing that. That's why.
That is our evaluation system.
Okay.
Everybody good for the consent agenda? Ms. Fritz and Mr. Rodriguez? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Ms. Lomas.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 3, community input.
Good evening, Ms. Perez. Have you signed up to speak or just want to?
Don't have to sign anything to me?
No? Good, no. So, Ms.
Fine.
Is this
okay.
No? Fine. As long as we keep it germane to our agenda, please, ma'am.
So, Madam President, board members, Superintendent Galavis, I'd like to read the statement that I released today in response to the proposed resolution that is an agenda item on your documentation today. Public education is the cornerstone of democracy. And just like democracy, our public schools are a place where every child is supposed to be welcome and afforded the best education possible, regardless of their income, needs, languages, or abilities. Our neighborhood schools have an obligation to reflect our American ideals. We are here for all children. Many of you ran for office on that exact sentiment, for the kids. We are tuition-free, publicly funded institutions of learning which must provide an education to all children in our publicly governed school systems. Let us not forget that this body exists for the purpose of public education. It is not a private school, it is not a parochial institution or a corporate charter that selectively chooses the children and the entity they wish to serve. You are here for the students, not just those with money or with more resources, or with, as one board member put in the newspaper, fewer social and related problems without the funding necessary to address those problems. The problem is that Canopy ISD, like districts across the state, is dealing with the problem of ensuring there is adequate funding to go around. But the solution is not to unfairly try to turn away students because they are poor. The fact that you are even considering this resolution, along with statements like serious financial and social effects of the poor, is an insult to this community. Moreover, it's an insult to the history of this community. As a member of the State Board of Education for District 1, I represent Canotillo as community. The rest of El Paso County and 39 other counties in West and South Texas. I'm in agreement with you that the state of Texas is failing school districts when it comes to funding. That is indeed the heart of this issue. Mm-hmm. And so I invite you to join me and others in our effort to get the legislature to fully fund public education. On that note, I think that is best accomplished by this body signing a resolution asking the state to fully fund public education rather than try to keep poor students out. Let us aim our rhetoric at the decision makers, not our children. Because thoughts become actions, this resolution is misguided and misplaced. Solve the problem. Don't punish students for something they don't have control of. This resolution is non-binding, but it sends the wrong message to students and the community and is inconsistent with American values of equal opportunity. I'm not exactly sure who put this item up for a vote and who thought it was a good idea, but shame on them. I urge the president to entertain a motion to delete this item.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Sonia, is there anyone else?
No, ma'am.
That takes us to?
Number 4, adjournment.
No time.
7:35.
Thank you very much. Thank you, board.